This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on, Camino alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell.
They call upon Quinn and Chris.
With Tony Quinn Jr. Well, in that case, El Camino, Wildcat taking on the fascist fashion guy. Alex Sanchez.
And Chris Hello.
I was thinking about Justice Sword. No, I know, okay, I'm not going to talk about Justice Sword here. What? Showtime! Joke Testicles.
Quinn and Chris, size now on 97.3 The Fan.
Join us Thursday, December 5th at 5 p.m. 6 p.m. Thursday Night Football. El Prez in Pacific Beach. We'll have swag to give away. We always got swag to give away now. And a chance to win 4-pack tickets to our SeaWorld takeover on Friday, December 13th. El Prez and Pacific Beach is your home for football. Come to PB and enjoy draft, beer, and food specials. Plus, El Prez has the best rooftop bar with panoramic ocean view. El Prez and Pacific Beach. You're listening to Quinn and Chris 5:05 on the clock.
Doesn't panoramic mean all the way around?
Yes, so they must be stationed right in the
middle of the ocean. That's what I was going to say. I'm sure they have a wonderful view of the beach, but it can't possibly be panoramic.
I'm not going if it's out in the ocean.
Right, now you won't be anywhere near that.
No, 5 o'clock hour, we start at the top, really, and that is the Seahawks-Vikings game yesterday. Vikings take another L. More importantly, Kirk Cousins takes another L. Monday Night Football.
He was okay.
He had one interception, but so did Russell Wilson, who had one interception. He played well. He got his team back in that game after it looked like he was getting ready to get away from
it. Right, they were done in the fourth quarter, 34-17, and Kirk Cousins played right, you're right, but the Seattle team is really good. Rashad Penny's really good.
I mean,
and we knew that ahead of time, but second consecutive game, he scored two touchdowns, and it's kind of keeping alive that dream all of us Aztec fans have of having Kawhi Leonard, Steven Strasburg, and why not Rashad Penny be the MVP of the Super Bowl? Look, Seattle's number, I think they're number two seed right now, because I think New Orleans beat them earlier.
Yeah.
But that was the strange thing about the game last night, was that if the Vikings would have won, the 49ers would have stayed the number one seed, Seattle would have stayed number five. But with Seattle winning, they replaced the Niners atop the NFC West. But actually, the Saints now become the number one seed because they have head-to-head win over the Seahawks. So it's a little confusing, but the bottom line is the Ravens upset because the 49ers are now a number five seed.
It's the most ridiculous thing in sports.
Yeah, but I think I told you the fifth best team in the conference.
Well, he did say that.
Yeah, they are definitely
this
not
would be four.
Who are they better than?
They're better than the Cowboys.
Yes.
Okay. That makes
fifth right there. They're better than the Eagles.
The Eagles are number one.
They're better than the Vikings.
I wouldn't say that's a guarantee. I mean, I think they probably would be favored over the Vikings.
I actually think they're better than the Saints.
Would they be favored?
The Saints in New Orleans.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Good luck. I hope you're right for you.
If they're replaying the game on NFL Network on one of these TVs, just from the 49ers and Ravens, it was that close. Like, centimeters.
Close only counts in handmaids and dancing.
Almost doesn't count. Louisville. College football.
Yes, they're playing Michigan tonight.
Michigan went from unranked to number four after their great weekend.
The game starting out, they go back down.
24-9 in the first half, 4 minutes ago. Yeah, that's a rude awakening.
24-9, 4 minutes ago?
Yes, in the first half.
So in the first 16 minutes, they only scored 9 points?
Yes.
Wow, that's not a good start for Juwan Howard's bunch tonight.
He is suffocating.
It's interesting, in college basketball, they have all these big games at the beginning of the year, and they're kind of fun to watch, but I don't get into them that much because they don't mean anything. I mean, you talk about a regular season, that doesn't mean anything. College basketball, it doesn't. I mean, I'm obviously living that with my teams, but Duke's playing Michigan State tonight. It's a great game, but I believe both teams will be in the NCAA tournament regardless of the outcome tonight.
It's dessert for us, really. You know,
yeah, it's something to watch.
I meant to ask you this before I change the subject to college basketball. Mm-hmm. Do you think Russell put himself back into top consideration for MVP after his performance last night?
Not to the top. No, I still think Lamar's up ahead of him. But I wouldn't totally count Russell Wilson out of the conversation yet. But Lamar Jackson's game against the Rams is going to resonate for a while. I mean, it's just sickening that game.
And you know what? The Ravens, I saw a stat the other day, which is even more pub for your 49ers. But during a span of three games, they scored a touchdown on 16 of 19 drives. Did I read that right?
That's crazy.
19 drives, they scored 16 touchdowns.
I've never heard of that before.
The
league percentage, I believe they said, was something like 20-something percent.
And they did it 85% of the time over a three-game span, and then they scored their first possession against the 49ers, or their second, and then the 49ers, you know, for the most part, kept them out of there.
You watched the game last night, right?
Last night, yes.
They put up another stat that was pretty impressive for Russell Wilson. I think he is one of three quarterbacks, obviously not named Brady. I think the other one was Manning.
Okay.
That have had consecutive amount of yards passed and beyond playoff contending teams. I can't remember. It was like 8 years plus, 6 years plus, something like that, that he had done it. There's only three guys in the history of the NFL that have done something like that.
I thought the interesting thing, too. I mean, well, first of all, the other thing to add about Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson, to me, still is the leader for the MVP. However, which guy do I think both teams are going to go to the Super Bowl, personally. That's just my pick. But which guy do I have the most confidence
that's
in?
Russell Wilson to
you
me.
Got to go to Russell Wilson because he's been there so many times. Lamar Jackson, you don't totally know how he's going to handle it. He did play in the playoff last year against the Chargers.
Didn't
play too well, but he's got his feet wet in the postseason. But Russell Wilson's got a Super Bowl ring. So, you know, Lamar Jackson may get the MVP, but Russell Wilson's going to be tough to beat.
So, yeah, no doubt about it.
Interesting.
All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills when we come back. I don't know what you're mouthing.
I did mouth it to you.
Don't mouth.
We had to move Dieter a little bit. We're going to move him to 5:45.
Okay.
But I want to see what you guys think about Addison Russell if you guys are up for it. right. Whether or not he should be a Padre.
Can I answer that now, or do
no.
you want me to wait?
No, wait. That's the whole part of a team.
I see. Okay.
All right. Well, we're talking Addison Russell. Would you want him on this Padre roster? Wouldn't we return?
Hey, next week we are covering the 2019 MLB winter meetings from start to finish. 97.3 The Fan's coverage of the 2019 MLB winter meetings, presented to you by San Diego's Honda dealers. Take advantage of the end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you will love at their Happy Honda Days sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. Next week, we will be on, not in our normal slot, 3 to 7, but an hour earlier.
2 to 6.
2 to 6, because Tony's got to get home early next week. No. Because,
guys,
no, we're going to have all live coverage of the MLB winter meeting. So Ben and Woods will be on from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. The coach will be on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then we'll be on from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So there'll be no laps. Everything will be live coverage right from the hotel, right from the MLB winter meetings. You won't miss a thing all week, next week. Thanks to the San Diego County Honda dealers for that, and we look forward to you joining us next week from the winter meetings. All right. No is my answer, Scraby. Took me a while.
Oh.
But I don't want Addison Russell.
On the Padres.
Yeah. Before we get back to that, though, I just wanted to throw this out here. You know how we talk about teams tanking in football and – you know, what are the Dolphins doing? What are the Bengals doing? Why are they winning games? They want to get the best pick possible. But then when you go back and you look at NFL drafts, you wonder why teams really want the best possible pick anyway. For example, 2012 draft, Russell Wilson was the fifth quarterback taken that year. He was number 75 overall. That means 74 teams... or 74 picks were made before Russell Wilson. Now, not all of them were bad. For example, the number one pick was Andrew Luck. Pretty good career. But Robert Griffin III hasn't worked out. Ryan Tannehill, certainly not better than Russell Wilson. Have you ever even heard of Brandon Weeden?
Yeah. The only reason why I've heard of Brandon Weeden, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State went
played
to the Browns.
The
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he played in the minor leagues.
I didn't even know that, but he was taken by the Browns in the first round, way ahead. Brock Osweiler, also taken ahead of Russell Wilson. So my point is let's say you're dying for a quarterback next year. You don't need to lose games to try and get the first quarterback. The fifth one might be just as good. And it's been shown over and over again. Lamar Jackson's another example, 2018 draft. Baker Mayfield was first. Sam Darnold was second. Josh Allen was third in the quarterback running.
My only rebuttal.
And then Lamar Jackson.
Would be that 2012 and 2019 are like almost like a 20-year difference in terms of how much the game of football changed
right.
in that time frame. So because there are so many more dual threat quarterbacks that come out of college, in the NFL has seemed to adopt.
Yeah.
Because remember, for a long time, the NFL, I don't know if it was the NFL was reluctant to do what the college teams were doing, or they just didn't think it would work, but we've seen over the last 3 years a lot more resemblance between NFL and college now. So these dual-threat quarterbacks, with the rule changes...
are crucial.
You have a clear difference maker on your team.
So you want to get the highest pick possible now, more so than you did in 2012.
I think so. But okay. I still agree with you, though. There is not necessarily a need to go up to lose a whole bunch of games.
Yeah.
You can find yourself in the 12, 13, 14 spot.
Still get a good player.
Yes.
Josh Allen went number 7 to the Buffalo Bills. They got their franchise quarterback, right?
Certainly looks like
Arizona had the 10th pick. They blew it. They went Josh Rosen. Or apparently they blew it, at this point.
They had to go back and redo it, so clearly they blew
right.
it in their mind.
But that's the point, is whether you have the 7th pick or the 10th pick, you can either get somebody good or not. And the first pick isn't always the best player to come out of the draft. In fact, it very rarely is.
It is the plague of all sports management. Whatever you guys were doing over there, we'll find a way to fix it and do it better over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they all make that same mistake and they go down that same road.
Yeah.
And occasionally, some teams do fix it. They do get the have the missing ingredient to make a player better. But a lot of times it just seems like it's just a recycled thing that just keeps happening.
And the funny thing with Lamar Jackson, really, being the fifth quarterback taken in the draft a couple years ago, is that at the end of last season, you could have made a case that he was the fifth best quarterback coming out of that draft. But right now, he's the best player in the league.
People can – all the ridiculous things that were said about Lamar Jackson are playing a major role in him playing as well as he
Maybe
is,
so.
No doubt.
Yeah, he's using that as motivation. All right, we're going to get to Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, in just a little while. We also have our countdown coming up. And then the happy hour from 6 to 7 tonight. So that's still ahead if you haven't heard that. Some other news today. Ron Rivera was let go after 9 years by the Carolina Panthers. Never mind a Super Bowl appearance and a 76-63 record. He lost to the Washington Redskins on Sunday. So he is gone. And that's kind of the only newsworthy item, really, a big newsworthy item of the day. College football playoff standings were announced. It's still Ohio State, followed by LSU, Clemson, and Georgia. Utah's 5, Oklahoma, Baylor, 6-7. So you're up to date. Lakers in Denver tonight. Clippers home to Portland. A couple of pretty good
I'm watching.
Is there ever a night when there's not a couple of good basketball games? We've talked about that. That's why it would be nice if the regular season meant something, because the games are already fun to watch, but there's not the meaning necessarily, because you know these teams are going to be there at the end.
I am, you know, I kind of consider myself a traditionalist, but I have to say I like the idea of shortening the or at least making the division or shortening the playoffs. Like, you don't need 8 teams. Make it 6.
5 or 6 will be plenty in each conference.
You will create some serious competition if teams know, man. And then, you know what? Then that idea, the idea that the NBA is floating with that preseason tournament or that middle of the season tournament, you could actually get some legs there, because if you're giving away spots for that, maybe at that point.
You might want to win that
mid-season
tournament so that you can get into the postseason. Oh, it would be if you're some teams.
Yeah.
Just to get a hot streak and win 6 or 7 games and win that tournament and get into the postseason and have a lousy team. I just think the NBA needs to do something, and they're certainly thinking about it. Dieter Kurtenbach, when he joins us, he will outline his proposal, which I think is an excellent one as far as the NBA is concerned. But right now, you know, look, these games are fun to watch tonight, but the Lakers and Denver and the Clippers and probably Portland will all be in the playoffs when it's all said and done. But if there were only 4 or 5 teams allowed in, then all those teams couldn't make it. And these games tonight would mean something even this early in the season.
Yes.
You'd be pulling teeth to make sure you win this game.
100%. Scraby, I never gave you my answer. My answer is also no. Addison Russell.
He didn't ask you. He knew where you were going.
Now, is it because, I'm just going to ask it, is it because he has the domestic violence allegations in the suspension?
That doesn't help. Doesn't help.
But you just don't think he would fit on the team as a player.
I'm looking at the non-tender candidates now. You guys know what F-War is. I'm sure you guys have schooled yourself on what F-War is.
Oh, yeah.
MLB has them ranked.
No clue.
What is F-War?
F-War?
Wins above replacement.
Well,
FanGraphs wins above replacement.
Oh, fantasy. Now you're adding a word to it.
I have their...
Is that different than the regular war?
I'd be lying if I gave you an answer.
Okay, you don't know. All
right. But the MLB has them, MLB.com has them listed in terms of highest war. First guy on the list is the guy who I mentioned would be a good candidate, Cesar Hernandez from the Phillies, second baseman. He's first with 1.7.
He's a good player.
Your guy, or the guy that you're asking about, Addison Russell, is a 0.5. Right above Tim Beckham, right below Aaron Sanchez. I don't necessarily think he would be a difference maker.
No.
Not that Profar is a difference maker, but he doesn't have the baggage that Addison Russell has. So, on a team that you're trying to, you know, change culture, bring guys in. And according to Theo Epstein, Addison Russell has done everything they've asked him to do in terms of rehabilitating himself. But if you're the Pods, why even mess with it at this point?
Why mess with it? You already got yourself a second baseman just two days ago.
Exactly.
So, and you got other guys that are candidates for that position. We, you know, Gary Garcia, Ian Kinsler's still around. I'm not saying these are the guys you want, but I'm just saying you have other guys. All right, Dieter Kurtenbach, though, with some interesting NBA stuff, and he will also have some insight on Jurickson Profar, because Profar played in the Bay Area with the A's, as you know. So we will talk about both those items with Dieter in the next segment. But before we get to that, it will be our daily countdown. And for whatever reason, I think the countdown has kind of taken over as the most talked about segment on this show.
I don't know. The Big Five is pretty good, too.
Oh, you're just giving yourself... Yeah.
Usually every day at 4:30 we do the Big Five.
I understand that, and people like the Big Five, but nobody sends me a text that says, mashed potatoes?
You're right.
When we're doing the Big Five.
That's a very good
point. I do get that sometimes during the countdown.
My uncle was in town last week, and he was listening to our top five pies, and he said he doesn't listen to radio often, but he made my mom stay in the car and listen to the rest of the podcast.
Wanted to hear the whole countdown. Well, you'll have to hear the whole countdown today. It's coming up next with Gwen and Chris, Southern California, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Do you want great guests? We've got you covered.
Executive Chairman of the Padres, Ron Fowler.
Roster-wise, what is priority number one?
Obviously, we need probably another starting pitcher, some veteran leadership there. We need another bat, preferably a left-handed bat from the for the outfield. And then we need greater patience and the ability to put the ball in play to a far greater extent than we did this year.
Ben and Woods, mornings from 5 to 9. It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back into Gwen and Chris. We're getting straight into our countdown. Top five biggest disappointments or surprises in the NFL season this year. Chris, why don't you lead us off?
All right, first, let's remind everybody that the countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. My number five.
Number five.
Darn, I hate when I do that. Number five to me is the LA story. Two big time disappointments. Rams in the Super Bowl last year, not a playoff team at the moment, 7-5. And maybe even more disappointing, the Chargers, a 4-8 disaster. So the LA story is my number five surprise/disappointment of the year. It's surprising and disappointing.
It's a good one. My number five, and they're actually going to be on my list a little bit lower. My number five to start off is the duo out in Arizona. And it's a surprise. Kyler Murray and his head coach, I don't know why his name is slipping me right
Kingsbury.
Now.
Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Good old Cliff Kingsbury.
Kingsbury. Clingsbury.
No, Kingsbury. Not Queensbury.
Cliff. Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury.
Just call him, what's the actor he looks like? Brad
Pitt? Gosselin.
Oh, no, Ryan Gosselin. Like Ryan Gosselin.
Yeah, Ryan Gosselin.
Yes, these two have been a big surprise to me. I did not think, and they haven't won like a crazy amount of games, but they've been successful offensively. And
I
did not see that coming, at least in year one. I thought Kyler Murray would have a longer learning curve early in the season, but to my surprise, he's been pretty good, and so has Cliff Kingsbury. He's been pretty decent,
done
too,
a pretty good job.
As far as the offensive side. Now, they have some issues they got to clean up from a roster standpoint, but I got to tell you, I've been quite surprised by that squad.
All right.
Number four.
Number four to me, another surprise, is that the pass interference challenge rule has not wrecked the league.
You're right.
Because I really thought it was going to. I thought
That's
it was going to be a
call,
mess
Chris.
Every single day, every single play, every single week. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I saw somewhere where there's been like, what, 60 challenges and only like 14 or something have been overturned. Very low number have been overturned. But you know what? Coaches seem to be
adjusting.
Going after it at the right time.
Yeah.
They're not just being ridiculous with it And to that, I say it's okay. The only thing that I don't like about it is the fact that now that you're reviewing pass interference and it's not gone terrible, they're going to eventually review more and more and more and more and more and more because they're going to say, well, that works, so we can try and review this. But anyway, I was surprised because I thought that would be a mess this year, and it hasn't been. Not yet. Maybe wait till a big playoff game, though. Okay. And then it comes
up. That's how we got here.
Yeah, that's how we got here in the first place.
Number four for me has to do with the referees, but it's been a disappointment. They've been brutal all year long. And it's almost been a storyline. Last week, I didn't hear very much about the referees. Matter of fact, the last 2 weeks. But up until that point, every single week, we were talking about the referees in one shape or another.
And you don't like to ever
And you shouldn't. That's the objective. Now, I don't know who's this on. It seems like it would be on the NFL. You got to be able to bring in guys that can get the job done. Not saying that they're not qualified, but they're not performing up to the standard that has been set before them.
Yeah, the leagues, I mean, look, you've got the greatest athletes in the world playing this greatest game in America. You need to get the greatest officials you can. And I will say this about officials, though, in the NFL. It's always made me laugh.
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
Who said that, by the way?
Me.
That's you?
No. That's our voice guy, Hans.
That's our voice guy? No, I always find it funny when they throw a bomb, like last night they hit that guy for the Vikings behind the secondary and he ran like 40 yards into the end zone untouched. There's always a 97-year-old referee running right next
right
to him, keeping up with
him.
How do they do that?
That's a good point.
Nobody said they're not in good shape while they're out there. They're just not getting all the calls right.
And there goes, I think his name was Treadwell. Treadwell speeding to the end zone. There's a ref right with him.
Yeah, Treadwell.
Number three.
Wide anyway, open, too.
Comedy gold. Number three surprise for me, without question, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are 7-5 in a playoff team right now. I think Mike Tomlin, if he's not the runaway coach of the year, he better get some votes. They got their fourth string quarterback, their 19th string running back. They have no wide receivers left. I mean, well, it's Juju, but he's been hurt. The defense is different than it's ever been, and somehow Tomlin has these guys in a playoff position. I think he's just doing an incredible job. Pittsburgh should be like 2-10, and they're not.
Number three on my list is that LA story. Both of those teams have been disappointing,
yeah.
And that's putting it very, very nice. Both teams, you could argue, had Super Bowl aspirations at the beginning of this year.
There was probably some people who picked an all-LA Super Bowl this year.
And that is not even close to happening. The Chargers have been bad. They've been hit. They've been hurt all year. That's their excuse. I don't know if I can come up with one for the Rams, man. I really don't. Like, this team is constructed probably better than they were last year when you add a Jalen Ramsey at some point during the season.
And Eric Weddle.
And Eric Weddle.
All year.
All year long.
Yeah.
Yet they sit at third place in a very tough NFC West. So they take the number three spot for me.
It's another Super Bowl team that loses that has a tough following season. And that is something that happens a lot in the NFL for whatever reason.
It's not a coincidence at this point.
Yeah.
Number two.
All right, number two for me is for all the fantasy players out there. The wrong running backs have starred this year in the NFL, not the right ones. And if you go back to the beginning of the season, the three best running backs, clearly, well, maybe McCaffrey was in there, and he's had a great year. But the other three guys I'm going to mention were way up at the top of every fantasy board.
Saquon
Barkley is now 24th in the league in rushing. Alvin Kamara is 21st in the league in rushing. And Le'Veon Bell is 20th in the league in rushing. That's incredible that none of those three guys are even in the top 20. And those were the top picks in fantasy, pretty much along with McCaffrey, who's been the only guy that's really lived up to
that. I was one of the suckers that took one of those three backs, Le'Veon Bell.
Well,
has not helped me at all.
Yeah, you're not the only guy.
Oh, it's my turn, number two.
He's thinking about Le'Veon Bell.
Cleveland Browns. They fall
that's
number
a good
two.
One.
I mean, good job.
Remember how much we were talking about this team during whole offseason, I think they were the topic of discussion.
Yeah.
In San Diego, by the way.
They were anointed Super Bowl champions.
Yes. I mean, they had the best roster, the best quarterback at the time.
They anointed themselves as Super Bowl champions.
Freddie Kitchens was a genius of a head coach. And
negative.
All of these things have turned out to be untrue.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry's the number one receiver on the same team as Odell Beckham. Nobody saw that coming. They're 5-7.
Yeah. Big disappointment.
Yeah.
Good one.
Huge disappointment.
Number one.
All right, the number one biggest surprise for me is, Tony and I actually talked about this a little earlier in the show, but the number one surprise to me is how the position of quarterback has completely, totally changed now in the NFL. And if you look at the top four candidates for MVP, they're all athletic, mobile quarterbacks who can run. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. You could put Dak Prescott in there, who's a division leader. The only three guys that are leading their division that aren't mobile running quarterbacks are the three old-time stalwarts, mm-hmm. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers. So give them credit for still being able to get it done from the pocket. But in this day and age, you now have to have a running quarterback, and I didn't see that coming.
You know what's interesting is that, you know, for a long time, the same option read we were watching now have success didn't work. You know why? It's because at some point, teams would just hit the quarterback no matter what, whether he had the ball or not.
So coaches stopped calling the play.
Now, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't just take a free shot. So it changes the entire dynamic. Coaches can go back to that play over and over again because you know what? If you hit that quarterback, you're putting your team at jeopardy for a penalty.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if Lamar Jackson keeps the ball, you need to go and tackle him hard to get him down. But if you do, it's going to cost you 15.
And speaking of the devil, my number one is Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
I thought he would be a good quarterback. I believed in him more so than a lot of people did, but I'd be a straight-up liar if I said I thought he would learn how to stay in the pocket, throw the ball the way he has this year, if he would be able to stay healthy as he has this year. This is just – I didn't see this coming. I really didn't.
There's no way. What were the odds on Lamar Jackson being the MVP of this league?
I would love to check
those Thousands
odds.
To
yeah,
one.
It couldn't have been high.
Yeah. All right, there's our countdown today. Hope you enjoyed. I know you will enjoy a visit with Dieter Kurtenbach. But we want to remind you that the countdown was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 29 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you. Dieter Kurtenbach is located in the Bay Area with the Bay Area News Group. Interesting stuff on the NBA and also the Padres' new second baseman. Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group joins us, one of our favorite guests on the program. Interesting, a couple of weeks ago, Dieter, I don't know if you know this, I opened up the San Diego Union-Tribune, saw a guest column written by you. I trust you were paid heavy royalties for that.
Still waiting on that check.
Yeah, I don't understand how they can just use your stuff like that, but
it feels like I'm getting used from all directions over here. So let's use me right now, and then I'll get on to the next using.
Nah, we're going to send you a check. I promise. Scraby will pay you. Dieter, you wrote an article. The article was really good. I enjoyed it, and it was about the NBA playoffs and how, I mean, the NBA does have an issue right now with the regular season. Mm-hmm. Not seeming that important. I thought you had some good ideas for a postseason that might improve that. Why don't you kind of explain what you were talking about?
Yeah, so the NBA is having a huge ratings crisis right now. Basically, everything's down about 20%. And a lot of people are pointing to 100 different things as to why that's the case, whether it be a branding issue with load management or the Warriors just stinking again or LeBron being on the West Coast. But I feel like it taps into something that we've kind of known but don't talk about very much, stuff that our dads were telling us where it's like the regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs. And so much of the pretense being dropped around that when you do have these load management guys who aren't playing back-to-backs. You have a bunch of all-stars not playing back-to-backs and just saying, no, I just want to be healthy for the playoffs because that's really all that matters. And basically being able to get away with it, in my opinion, because there's 8 teams that make the playoffs in each conference. More teams make the playoffs than don't, and you have sub-500 teams, particularly in the Eastern Conference, making the postseason. So why does the regular season really matter? So my solution isn't shorten the regular season, because I think that that's just going to be a really difficult conversation to have with owners who need the gate revenue and players who also get the revenue from those games, and instead say less games in the postseason and basically do the baseball model where you already have 3 divisions. The winner of each division goes to the playoffs. They have a first round bye, if you will, and then 2 wild card teams, the 4 and the 5 seed, play the week before the playoffs start, which only incentivizes winning your division. You get a week off. But the 3-4 and 5 teams play a three-game series that week beforehand, and that's sort of a play-in game like the way they have in baseball. So if you want to load manage, go ahead. But, you know, ultimately there's only three real spots in the playoffs, and then, you know, 4 and 5, 2 wild cards, which aren't really that big of playoff spots. If you want to go, if the Clippers want to rest Kawhi Leonard as much as they want, go right ahead. But you might not make the postseason, and then what was it all for?
I like that idea. I mean, that certainly puts a rest to the regular season not having really any implications.
Can you imagine the battles between the Lakers and Clippers just to win the Pacific Division?
It would feel so much more meaningful in the regular season because of those battles, because of those rivalries, the division getting involved again. No one cares about division. It's all about 1 through 8 right now.
Yeah.
And I get it. But, like, ultimately, it doesn't matter if the Clippers have conceded this. The Warriors a couple of years ago just said, we don't care if we're the one seed. We don't care if we have home court advantage. We'll go to Houston or wherever, and we'll beat them even if they get 4 out of 7 games at home. We'll beat them because we're a better team, and that's how basketball works. Better teams usually win no matter where the game is. You have to cut through all of that. The pretense is gone, so I think you have to put a little more scarcity in it. And the other way I like looking at it is, okay, baseball season is probably too long. It's a little difficult to feel totally engaged in it for all 162. But could you imagine how fun baseball would be if it had an 81-game regular season?
Oh,
like,
man.
If it was half the length?
I mean,
that would be wild.
Some of the purists would absolutely, their heads would explode for it. But 100%, it would bring a lot more urgency to the regular season. Dieter, I want to ask you a little bit about the Warriors because obviously this team had gone on an unbelievable run. 5, 6 years. What was it? 5 or 6 years?
Five years.
5 straight years getting to the finals. What is life like now with the team as constructed? Because it certainly isn't nearly as loud as it was.
No. I mean, first off, they're in a new building, which is basically an international airport terminal. It's pretty soulless in there.
Right.
And, you know, they're in San Francisco, so there's some interesting new stuff, but it's also kind of the fleece vest clientele that had been seeping into Oracle Arena for the last 5 years. They now have full run of the place. They have their $32 mixed drinks and all that jazz. This team sucks. I mean, there's just no nice way to put it. They have a bunch of really young guys. They have guys that were getting one kind of offer, you know, and just from the Warriors and thought that that'd be the 10th, 11th, 12th man on the bench. Those guys are starting now. Those guys are asked to get 20 points a game. They're terrible. They can't defend anybody. They can't score against anybody. And no one seems to really care because, honestly, when you get 5 straight years of this run, it almost feels like they deserve, to a certain extent, a season this bad. And frankly, if they didn't stink this bad, people would be wondering when the other shoe's going to drop because you can't have it this good without getting it this bad. And they're going to be the worst team in the NBA. They're going to get a very high draft pick. They'll be fine in the long run because now you add a draft pick to Steph, Clay, Draymond, whoever else comes in, who knows, with D'Angelo Russell. They'll be fine. I think they'll get back into championship contention next year, at least in theory. But, man, they were kind of set up to fail this year, and then everything crashed in on them. And, it's impossible to watch. They're really, really terrible.
They're not as bad, I don't think, as the 99 Bulls. That was the first no Michael Jordan team after he retired, and everyone left at once. And they, I don't know how many games they won, but it wasn't very many.
I was there. I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
I was 11 years old, and my dad, who had been on the Bulls season ticket waiting list for the entire Jordan tenure in Chicago, they finally said, hey, we got Bulls season tickets for you. You want them? And we got them. We got them that year, and that was a really big deal. You know, father and son bonding time, and about halfway through the season, we're like, we do not want to bond over this team. This is going to really ruin our relationship.
Yeah.
We sold it. They got rid of them at the end of the year. I don't think I've been to a Bulls game since.
It was incredible the way it worked out. Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group, is with us. While we got you, Dieter, I thought we'd ask you about Jurickson Profar, who the Padres just acquired from the Oakland A's. Second baseman, 20 home runs. That's the good news, at least in theory. The bad news, he doesn't hit all that much, and he was a great prospect who really hasn't turned into anything all that wonderful. We're kind of curious as to what the Padres see in him. I'm sure nobody's crying too much in Oakland today at the loss of this guy.
No. That said, I do think that A's fans who have kind of gotten used to bargain hunting and sort of seeing the bright side of players that most teams around baseball don't see the bright side of, really like Profar. He had a really bad year. It was rough. The change the change from Texas to here just maybe seemed a little jarring, you know, especially when you come and play at the Coliseum compared to that bandbox that they had in Arlington. Anytime you put the ball in the air down there, it's going to travel 400 feet. Anytime you put the ball in the air at night in Oakland, I mean, it might get out of the infield.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I guess he'll have the same problem at Petco, but you know, he needs to adjust the swing a little, maybe be a little more line drive. I think he got a little too into the launcher angle revolution. The bigger issue for Profar, and maybe the reason that his stock fell so much and people weren't just willing to give him a pass this past year on, you know, some of the downsides of his hitting game, was that he kind of had the yips at second base throwing the ball. I don't know if that's – yeah, it was pretty rough. They had to do defensive replacements at second base, the Oakland A's, who – you know, ironically, are now one of the best fielding teams in baseball. They had this unbelievable infield of Matt Chapman, who's as good as it gets at third base. You got Marcus Semien, who's really turned into a tremendous fielder, and Matt Olson, who's the best defensive first baseman in Major League Baseball. And I'll argue that until the day we all get taken off the air. But like, Profar just kind of brought the entire thing down. It was really tough to watch. So I understand why the A's, of all teams, didn't want to kind of pay him what his arbitration was due. But I think there's a lot of upside there. He has a chance, if he can just get a little bit of refinement, to be a real stud, because he's got all the talent in the world. And I think he's a really good guy whose head's in the right place. Maybe he's overthinking things a little bit too much, which is almost a problem that you can work with, as opposed to not being smart enough to handle the major league game.
Dieter, one last question before we let you get out of here. We'll move to the last sport in the Bay Area, football.
yeah.
Both teams going in different directions, it seems like. The Raiders, who all of a sudden seem like they were AFC West contenders, have lost two bad games in a row. San Francisco, who I thought played their best game of the season, they also lose. And because of that, they go from a 1 seed to a 5 seed as of right now. What is the temperature like football-wise out that way?
Yeah, well, finally everyone's come around to my line of thinking that Derek Carr just isn't good enough for this and that he needs to be a backup.
You know who's been on your line of thinking is CeCe Sabathia. He has been on Derek Carr's head
well,
for quite
CeCe's
some time.
Well, CeCe's a very, very, very smart man, so I'll take that any day of the week. Yeah, Carr was just atrocious in the two games that mattered. The Raiders, listen, they're a rebuilding team. They're going to Vegas next year, so it's all very frustrating and peculiar, and we don't know how to feel about it here in the East Bay. But, like, you know, they're rebuilding. They're going to be good soon. I can guarantee you that. They drafted too well not to be at least halfway decent, and then it just feel like they got a little lucky, and their time came early. And so you go, well, it's now or never. You got a chance to kind of go out with a bang in Oakland, do all those things that you said you wanted to do, maybe even contend a little bit. All you need to do is find your best football these next 2 weeks against the Jets and the Chiefs. And what do? They turn in two of the worst games you'll ever see from any team. I mean, straight up Bengals and Miami Dolphins, early Miami Dolphins performances, just laughable, getting laughed off the field against Kansas City, who's always had their number. But the Jets who lost to the Bengals, so now, you know, it's the balloon pops. Honestly, they weren't that good to begin with, and maybe they rode their luck a little bit too far. And if Derek Carr doesn't win against Tennessee on Sunday, I think it's really hard to argue that he should at least not go opposed at the quarterback spot, QB1 spot, next year in Vegas. And for the 49ers, like, it is strange. You know, the one loss that they have overtime, they miss a field goal in overtime. A couple of game management decisions by Kyle Shanahan in that overtime against the Seahawks, not that great. But that loss just looming large over everything, and people are still freaking out about it. Now, several weeks later, they've lost to the two MVP leaders, two legit Super Bowl contenders, by one possession, by one, you know, one kick at the end of a game, and they're the 5 seed. They are tied for the best record in the NFL. It just feels like maybe this is the stepping stone year, that this isn't, that they're not totally ready to get over this hump, that Garoppolo's not there yet, that Shanahan doesn't have enough experience in big games as a head coach to handle. He's kind of got some Andy Reid tendencies right now. Great play caller, not a great game manager. And that the defense, which is so awesome, they're just getting injured left and right, and that maybe the bottom falls out there. I think they're still a legit Super Bowl contender. I think they can win the Super Bowl with the roster that they have now, but they do seem more flawed than sort of the three or four other great teams in the NFL. And ultimately, I just have a hard time seeing them coming through in the clutch come the playoffs. And their schedule down the stretch is hellacious. They got the Saints, and then they'll play Seattle week 17 in Seattle, probably with all the marbles on the line.
Dieter Kurtenbach, outstanding Bay Area news group. As I mentioned, checks in the mail. And you know what? Just because you're such a good guy, I got some friends at the Union Tribune. I'm going to call those guys and tell them to, you know, get you a little something for that guest column. Because it was my favorite thing I read in the paper that day. Well, that's not saying much in the Union Tribune, but it was a good column, man.
if your guys don't get there first, my guys might beat them. So we'll see. The Union Tribune's going to have some people knocking on the door.
Good.
I guarantee that.
I'm glad to hear it. All right, Dieter. Thanks for everything, man. We'll catch up with you soon. Have a happy holiday season.
You too.
That was Dieter Kurtenbach, courtesy of Bay Area News Group. We got to get to break when we come back. Chris's pop quiz. And I got to tell you, I feel pretty confident about you being a winner when it's all said and done. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.